5.
6.
7.
8.
9.
10.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Submarine Annie Roach episode 102. This episode is going to be a little different. This episode is going to remind you guys of that one episode of the Joe Budden like podcast when Joe informed you guys that he had told Rory to take a break. Because TMT isn't on this episode, and it's exactly because we told TMT to take a fucking break, man. We're like, yo, TMT, we're fucking sick of your shit. Showing up late, being entitled as fuck, just like acting up, talking about you want to punch us, talking about just bringing just violent energy to the podcast. And we're just like, nah, dog, you need to sit some podcast. I'm kidding. TMT is ill. TMT is under the weather. TMT's MacBook didn't start, and he just suddenly got malaria. I've never seen that type of malaria before, man.
Well, you see, I fuck with that type of malaria, because that's malaria that material shit can heal. Like, if you just get one credit alert now, you're legit, like, dude. I have been healed.
You're holy again. Nah, that's just funny, man. Like, that's all I could think about. TNT was talking about, oh, he was ill, he has bed rest. I was like, oh shit, my bad, bro, like, sorry. Then maybe like 3 sentences later, he was like, oh yeah, man, he put on his MacBook on Thursday and it just won't come on. I was like, oh, I was wondering why you're on bed rest, dog. Like,
well, he came here on Saturday.
Oh, he did? No, but yeah, I don't think he said he was on bed rest since Thursday, though. I think he said he was on bed
rest. No, yeah. I know he said, like, yesterday, he said he was on bed rest maybe since Sunday.
I'm dead. But he came on Saturday and just, like, bed rest of, like... That's funny. I feel you, man. Maybe he still thought the MacBook would start, and then the MacBook didn't start, and reality just started getting realer. But, yeah, man, it's episode 102, so we're in Roach. We have a reoccurring voice. I can't really call her a reoccurring guest, but she's going to be chiming in on occasion, I pass. So I'm trying to get a little high from her, just like so you guys recognize her voice real quick.
Hey guys.
Who are you?
I'm like the imposter of the podcast. I'm always lurking in the background. Who am I?
A Yoruba queen. She just called Maiwa a Yoruba king because he just struggled to put like 3 Yoruba sentences together.
No, but that she's mocking me because we have an argument on who's Yoruba is better. So
interesting.
She didn't mean that with like church mind.
With love. Oh no, it didn't sound like she did, dog. Trust me. 100% sounded like she was mocking you, man.
One second. No, someone just ran.
Speak some more Yoruba, big.
Chad, coach, do you find this really awkward the first time you did a podcast?
No, why?
No, I guess I'm not sure. I just find it awkward.
Why, just talking and like talking like performatively?
Yeah, because sometimes you're like, what if what you're saying is not funny? Or like,
man, Loki, you kind of just have to trust that it is. Because, we used to struggle with this before. Like, before when we started, we used to do, like, lots of, like, well, not lots of, but we'd do, like, a lot, like, some second takes. So, like, we'll have the episode ready, and then we'll, like, send it around to friends and get their feedback, and then we'll decide, okay, what stays, what goes, or whatever. But, like, now, as we've grown into just, like, fucking with ourselves, like, and really believing in the content, we just put it out, man. Like, we just are certain. Like, it's just like now, if we enjoyed making the episode, if we laugh, then we just imagine that someone else out there would laugh. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know something funny someone said to me?
What?
So they were like, I thought your guys' podcast was over when I saw episode 100. Like, so when you guys put episode 101, I was like, what's going on?
I'm dead. Wait, what? Why do you think it was done?
I mean, they just thought it's like, you know, okay, hit 100 and like retire.
Dang, what? Hit 100 and retire? Well, maybe hit $100 million and retire or something. Like, I die if I don't make cheese up this, like serious cheese. Like, you know, the type of cheese where I can tell my parents, oh, damn, man, I wish I did this like from the beginning of time. Well, I mean, it is what it is. We made it here.
No, you know the type of cheese you need to make?
What?
Where you can buy your favorite social media platform just on a whim. just on a whim. They'll be like, yo, Twitter was good.
Bro, that shit is so crazy, man. Like, I don't even know that. Well, I mean, 46 billion could probably show up on a calculator, but it's just like a number that actually just doesn't make fucking sense. Like, that's a number that, like, folks, like, I remember, like, seeing 46 billion on the Forbes list and being like, okay, yeah, fuck, like, fuck yeah. And, like, now that's literally, like, chump change for someone to just, like, cop something that they wanted to cop. Like, it's a fucking...
And the thing that gets me about, like, it being copable is that Twitter is not exactly profitable. Like, Twitter is the worst performing social media platform.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, the way companies like, obviously, Facebook, Meta, whatever they're calling themselves now, Snapchat, like, TikTok. All those guys, or even companies like, I mean, the big tech companies like Google, Apple, all their shit. Like, Twitter is like a dwarf. Like, it's not making money. They don't know, like, I don't think
they make money off of it.
They don't, like, they don't,
top, like, fundamentally.
Yeah, and so the fact that Elon Musk is buying it, it's like, I mean, obviously he might have a plan, but it didn't even seem like he had a plan, because it seemed like it was something that just basically came up.
Like, he vibed his way into it. Like, he was shit.
Yeah.
You know, we're here now. Might as well fucking show these niggas. Crazy.
What, and even that, just like the way it happened, where he, what's he called? He, obviously, I think he had been buying the stocks on the low.
Yeah.
And so at a point, he had to declare. And they were like, okay, you have maybe 9 or 10%, but we'll invite you on the board, but you can't buy any more stocks. And my guy was like, yeah. And I was like, nah. Like, nah, I don't need to join your board. I don't need to, like, have no stupid agreement to you guys. I'm going to buy this shit.
Fucking crazy. Where do you stand, though? Because I literally have no opinions. Like, I was, like, daydreaming the other day about having, like, two people who fuck with, well, one person who fucks with Elon Musk and another person who doesn't, just come and, like, argue and let me just, like, listen and form an opinion based on other people's opinions. Because, like, I actually know nothing about the guy. Except that, like, he's African.
Imagine putting up to Elon Musk, like, my African brother.
My African brother. Put on Black Power Fist, man. Talk to him like, really slow, like a Nelson Mandela. My African brother.
Like, let me hold a little some.
But, like, how do you feel, though? Like, what do you stand? Do you have any real opinions? Do you care?
The thing is, I mean, obviously, some people... So, I'm someone that's, like, I don't... Elon Musk is someone I don't really have strong thoughts about because, he's a billionaire. So, more often than not, if you're a billionaire, there's, like...
You're
a fucked up person, and there's, like, terrible ethics underneath that. But, and I mean, I'm familiar with, like, obviously him not actually being the one who co-founded Tesla. Like, he just basically bought his way out and kicked those guys out. So,
that's just his move. He just buys things he likes and just tells niggas shit.
And then, I know that Elon Musk is not, he's not an angel. But then, with Twitter, I'm like, what's his actual plan? If it's like, you're going to, because I mean, he's been implying free speech, and I'm like, what exactly does that mean? Like, are you trying to say you're going to put Trump back and allow people say whatever it is they want? Or, like, and then I think the other thing he was talking about was, like, authentication, like, no more spam,
no more bots
or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I still don't think those are, like, big enough problems that I would spend 40-something billion on. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's the type of thing where my response to this will be determined by what comes next, like what happens. But I mean, for now, it's just interesting. And the other interesting thing is, like, watching Jack, who, like, got kicked out on Twitter, now aligned with Elon Musk and basically saying Twitter had lost his way and all sorts, and he's like tweeting through it, and I'm just like, yo, fuck off.
Crazy. I haven't even seen those tweets from him, but I can't believe they ousted him. That's so funny, man. Like,
no, they have been, the things they have been predicting for a while, because, again, back to the point about Twitter being like a...
Like a dud, not almost, like they're in the red.
Yeah, because the thing is, he was co-CEO in Twitter and Square. Is it Square or Space or whatever it is?
And obviously, them a little flutter with Access Bank team there, man. Niggas weren't on it, man. Niggas were like, no side gigs over here, bitch.
And obviously, I think Square is like payments now, so yeah. That obviously is doing well. He's performing better. So like, he was like a Twitter CEO who devoted 2 days a week to Twitter because it's just not worth his while. And I think obviously that was like made it conditional because I know these guys, Elliott Management, who own AC Milan, they're like very activist investors.
Yeah.
So they'll like, I think they did not want, they weren't down with Jack doing what Jack was doing. So I think it was the type of thing where he basically got eased out. Like they made it clear to him. Because I remember that time when Jack came to Nigeria and he was saying he was going to start spending his time in Africa.
Yeah.
And niggas were like, are you mad? Like you already do like, you already work like 2 days a week on Twitter. You now want to spend more time in Africa basically trying to enter like blockchain or whatever it was he was trying to do. And like, it's like, yo, this guy actually needs to get out.
That's so crazy. You know, the one thing that just killed me right now is you saying the owners of AC Milan are ethical investors and they invested in Syria. Like, I'm actually just dying right now.
But how they even I think the Milan thing, it wasn't like, I think the person who invested maybe was owing them money. So it was like, they took it as like collateral. Like they just were like, okay, you know what? Yeah, fuck out of here. Like, yo, we're going to take this thing and run it well.
Yeah, this capitalist, but when niggas just go around obtaining things, it's so crazy. Niggas just look at things like, yo, I like that, I want that, and I got to have that. Like, bro, crazy.
But yeah, like, because that's just, God, man. You know, see the thing. If you God even gave me half of this money, I won't be like this. Like, I would just be obtaining niggas. Just seeing niggas and be like, you know what, yeah.
Bro, if I was blown, the only thing I care about... Okay, two things. One, I want to be so blown that I can watch... I can, like, be a United season ticket holder and live anywhere in the world.
So it's I know Nigerian like that.
I can imagine, man. So I can see
who lives in Niger.
I can imagine that, like,
and who lives in Niger has like a United City ticket. I won't bust my brain because like said person's son was like one day we're hanging out on maybe a Thursday or Friday, and guy's like, I'm going to London. And I'm like, what's happening? He's like, I'm going to watch. It was the City game. Like, he's like, I'm going to watch the Manchester Derby. I'm like, so wait, you go for the weekend and be back by like Monday. I'm like, God, he actually choked.
Yeah, that's a fucking dream, man. Like, I'm going to see every OT game, but live in fucking Lagos. And then also, I just want to be able to put money in the like pockets of creators. But that creator one's going to be fucked up because I'm just going to be summoning them at odd hours.
Be shedding calls at like 1 a.m. Come on, okay, what's this line item? Come on, explain.
Like,
it.
Yo, Bagada Express drops at 11 p.m., but I actually want to hear it live, so someone get budging here. Fuck now. Bro, I'll be a fucking terrorist, man, but with love, obviously, because I'll be paying niggas their worth now. Like, they can call any price on me. Like, I won't be like a Mopo thing. I'll just use Mopo to summon them. Not like I'm Buhari or anything. I'll just be like, guys, this is the price, man. Pull up, man. Your live band, let's get this shit popping, man. You know what I'm saying?
See, what was like KSA in the garden, man?
KSA in like, the garden for real.
just be able to like just have like niggas that you like. You're like, okay, guy, I need a little impromptu. Come through the band. You'll be wired promptly and show up, perform favorite songs. Let's have fun. And when it's time, go to your house.
Go to your house, man. Like, doesn't even have a residency in my yard, man. A residency in my residence, you know what I'm saying? Like, how crazy, man. Like, one of my pops' friends has, like, I think every month or every other week, he has something called Shekinah Night, where he's a Christian dude. And so he just has, like, folks come over and, like, just praise and worship with a live band. And it's pretty, pretty cool, man. But me, man, won't be no Christian music, though. Except maybe it's like, I don't know. Who's the guy that always references God? Oh, Coffee always references God. By the way, have you checked out Coffee's album?
No, I haven't. The thing is, I basically, like, last week, the only new album I've listened to is the Pusha T album. But like last week, I put out today a bunch of albums I haven't listened to. So I put all of them in one playlist. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to play this shit this weekend.
Yeah.
But then I didn't. But I think this coming weekend, because it's going to be a long weekend, I don't think there's no work Monday to Wednesday. I will get through.
Damn, no everything. Work Monday to Wednesday? What the fuck?
As a capitalist and an employer, I'm not fucking with that, sha.
So, funny, bro, perspective is a fucking crazy thing, man. Like, I can imagine when you were salaried, man, you were excited for these fucking holidays.
Public holidays.
But, like, now...
the best.
Now you're an employer and you're just like, nah, man, no niggas eating for free. Eating my dime for free.
Because, like, last week, because of Easter, because I think there was a public holiday Monday and Tuesday. Mm. So, work was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And even, like... Personally, I wasn't even feeling it. So I could imagine, like, work was very slow because I think everyone else was just very lethargic.
So I was like,
wait, we're going to do this. And then upper week, we're going to have to do this shit again. Like, please, man.
I think about it, like, this week, niggas probably didn't get into it like that at all because they're just like, oh, man, I can't start giving it 100 kilometers. I have to slow down again and, like, now start speeding up again. Let me just ease. Let me just coast this week, man. Crazy. But what is next week's holidays about? What are next week's holidays about?
I think one of them is Workers' Day. Then I think the other two are like Muslim holidays.
Interesting, man. Fuck, I love Nice, man. I love Nice so much, man.
Yeah, I love a country where we practice two major religions. So we get, like, obviously Easter, like, one weekend. And then it's like... I was going to say something, but it's going to sound stupid because I don't know the name of the exact holidays. So.
I'm dead. But it was like Eid al-Fitri. Then you just slap the face.
Yeah. But yeah, like to be able to celebrate like Muslim holidays like the next week, like let's have it.
Man, crazy, crazy. Like Canada is one of the, I guess, like quote, Western countries with the most holidays. Like, I think there's like a holiday every month in summer, and then there's like a holiday in like, this month, April, and I think there was one last month as well. But yeah, I mean, I think like 5 months in a year, there's like one, at least one in quotes, bank holiday. Shout out to Canada. But real quick though, like I wanted to read this tweet about Elon Musk and like, yo, this Ogbeni Dipo guy, like I actually hate the guy, man. The guy like just, bro, I hate the guy so much, man. Like I hate when people are actually like intelligent and they bring value, but they just always end up on like the side of like just dumb takes. Like how can you be so, I guess, smart in your own way? Like you know how to like scale up and you know how to like educate people and do their CVs, but you just always end up getting dust as well. It's like, bro, like I understand that you've helped niggas and like the numbers prove it, but I could never send you my CV to do anything with if you're going to tweet stuff like this, man. How can this guy say Elon Musk was born in Pretoria, South Africa? That makes him an immigrant in the USA. He has done odd jobs at a farm and at some point he was an intern. If he can achieve all these great things, then the rest of us can at least try, irrespective of our limitations. Bro. Then he follows up with Elon was privileged. However, irrespective of your poor or humble background, you can achieve great things. It won't be easy, you know, and anyone who tells you it will be a walk in the park lies. But it can be done, all caps. Many have done it, and you can do it too. It starts with believing you can. Nigga, what the fuck?
You know the two things that get me here? The first one was him calling Elon like it's his bro. Then... And I mean, like, the other thing is just, like, this is very typical of, like, Nige, like,
mix aspire between, to like, despire,
aspire
like,
to perspire, religion, content. Religion guys. Like, there's, like, I say this all the time, like, I don't need Nige guys to tell me how, like, something's possible based on something that happened in somewhere else. Just, like, I don't need guys telling me how X is possible because Elon Musk was born in Pretoria. Like, that means anything to me. Yeah, and it's funny because like there will be people who lap it up, like niggas are just going to be there, just like, oh yeah, like you know this is making sense. Let me see how many retweets does that tweet have.
Yeah, actually has 2,000 retweets, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
2K retweets. 10K likes, bro. 10,000 niggas like that shit, man. Maybe like 1K of them are bookmarking that like, but still, man. Like, fuck sakes, bro. Bro, like, how can you constantly just like yan out your fucking ass? And that also reminds me of the Flutterwave dude, man. By the way, I hope he doesn't listen to this shit or he never comes across this shit. Because, like, if Flutterwave offers us money, like, I'm definitely taking that part, man. Like, they just come advertise on this P, man. However, like, that dude just all... Not, well, by that dude, I don't mean...
Which of the dudes are you referring to?
I'm referring to what's the other guy's name? JB. No, neither of the JBs. I'm not referring to either of the GBs, man. Not the CTO GB, not the CEO GB. I'm referring to the co-founder, Ian, who's obviously an intelligent guy, like a guy that knows how to run a business and everything. But he just always ends up yanning some sort of thing that is just like sinister as fuck. Like, bro, I remember when like what's it called now? The Ukraine Russia war was like about to like tip over and happen, like just when it was all the build up was happening. Maybe it actually just happened. And this guy's take was something along the lines of Africans, man, we'll never be ready. Like, this is the time for us to be rallying, to be taking Ukrainian jobs. Like, they have a lot of web developers, a lot of freelance. And I'm just like, holy fucking shit. Like, this is insane. Like, and it wasn't even from like a human, like, a, I mean, obviously, like, I understand that, like, yes, as a human, you shouldn't be thinking like that. But I'm like, this guy is not just a human. He also is a Christian, like a very like vocal Christian.
Yeah, because like his father is like a general overseer of Foursquare, which is obviously one of the biggest churches in the country. But you know, like, he is one thing. The one that actually kills me is that Mark Essien guy. Like, I have never seen anyone who every side of history is proud to be wrong.
I don't come across
as much as that guy is. That guy is, oh Lord, his own is, he's like, he's worse than any. Like, I'm sure if I go on his timeline now, I will literally see
one thing that you're, that
I'll just wrong. See something that's just like, yo, what is wrong with this man?
Bro.
For instance, coach, Mark Essien, first tweet, Twitter 48 minutes ago. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. Nigeria should change its national anthem to Afrobeats. Why does this sound like Western classical music?
Fuck's sake. Like, I mean, I hear him on like, yeah, like maybe they should incorporate a little more like, you know, African fucking drums. Like, there's not one talking drum in that anthem. However, like, bro, come on, man. Like, and that kind of P is the type of P that, like, you know, it's election season. That guy is trying to rally. That guy is trying to rally a base with that kind of tweet. Like, that guy thinks there's some nationalist P right now.
Another tweet on here. As an African, let's stop calling him Elon Musk. From now on, he should be Chief Engineer Elon Tesla Musk. AJ Buguru of Twitter. Balogun of SpaceX. Olori One of PayPal. Oluwa of Boring. Iche Eze Nunu Worldwide. Ozopuru Iliego One of Starlink. BSc, MSc, MBA, MPA, PhD, SAR. Like,
well, of course, I'm not surprised that, like, Musk buying, like, Twitter has, like, dick hard as fuck, man. You know, like, the nice tech is actually breezy when you think about it, man. Like, all those niggas are just on something. But, like, I mean, whatever it is working. But, I mean, working to an extent. So
but that, you see, that's the thing. So, like, I hate, like, when niggas succeed at one thing and think it entitles them to have, like, strong opinions or strong takes on other things. It's the same way I hate when Kanye starts dealing in politics. So it's like, hey, stick to the fashion, stick to the leather jogging pants and, like, Yeezys and all that shit. Like, don't come and be telling us about Harriet Tubman and what.
This nigga said, just dribble and shut up and go and bounce. Don't fucking kill me right now. Crazy.
But, like, it's the same way with, like, these tech guys where, like, niggas are in outside trying to have opinions on every and anything.
Yeah.
And especially when the opinions are not informed. It's like, you've not done the research. You just, like, maybe got in conversation with someone and you're like, you know what, this is, like, my little hot take. Like, I'm going to put it out. And the same thing with, like, Mark Essien and, like, all these guys. Just, like, you know, like, I feel like when you have that type of platform, I think if you're going to like talk about other things, I think the least you can do is just be basically informed.
Do you think it's a case where these folks are so used to like throwing half-baked ideas out there on like some whiteboarding pee, and I don't mean half-baked in like in a insulting way. I just mean like I've been in rooms where like all these engineers or like chaotic thinkers that are like in tech are throwing ideas on the wall, and then those ideas are then like built on, stripped apart, whatever it is. Do you think that's what's happening, or these guys are just?
I definitely think that's what it is, because I think like a lot of guys. Because sometimes I'm not even sure, like, I mean, I'm not speaking for these guys, but, like, sometimes I'm not even sure they believe what they're saying. I think it's just a, let's, in Kanye, with Kanye particularly, he does a lot of that, where he's going to throw stuff out, and then he'll iterate, but then it's like these things are sensitive, don't do that.
Of a platform, like, you can't use your big-ass platform as a whiteboard, like.
Yeah, so like with these guys, I'm sure like that's part of what it is. Like they are just, it will inform, like the feedback they get will inform their approach probably going forward.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, yo, we don't need to hear it. Like hit up your friends. Like that's why like sometimes I feel like, you know, you have group chats with like your people, or you can call certain people and like you can say like the things that like, I mean, all of us do it, but it's like there are things things that we cannot utter in public.
Yeah.
But then you say it to someone to be like, I can't lie, Sha, this is how I actually feel on this. And then it could be like, let's actually, you guys could get in a debate, or the person could try and change your mind. But you are doing that in private. Yeah. Like when you do it out there, more often than not, you are giving the people who are coming at it with bad faith, you are giving them like, I just feel like people should just be more responsible with their platforms.
It was about these guys still and using their platforms, and fuck it, I don't remember. The first thing I thought was, ew, yuck, man, why can't anything in Nige just be like straightforward or like non-dodgy? But then I guess like I don't know that you can do business on that scale and it would just be it'll be pure.
You know what's funny, I remember reading an interview where GB was saying how good Emefiele is or how supportive CBN have been, and I was just like rolling my eyes, like, I mean, I understand why you're saying this. It's probably been good to you business-wise, but let's not pretend like, but I mean, I get it. So I definitely agree with you that it's like certain businesses cannot be built or cannot be done without some form of, like, I mean, it's like trying to make an omelette without cracking eggs. Like, there'll be definitely one or two things. And I realize more and more with startups is that because startups are so focused on achieving X targets or Y targets, a lot of times they don't have the time to build culture.
Mm.
Which is why a lot of the things we see, you end up seeing it because it's like places. So like with the Flutterwave stuff, I think on one part, I'm like, you know what? I like that obviously someone dug into it and came out with what they found.
Yeah.
And obviously a conversation obviously emerged from that. Yeah. But then I don't like that Flutterwave's response was basically crickets.
Mm.
Particularly in the context of what Inye said. Because if you go and read the Inye article, he kind of, even though he hates David and they hate each other, he kind of corroborated because some of
Christian.
What... yeah. He kind of corroborated some of the things that like David reported.
Yeah.
Even though he also discredited some of the things. But then, so it's like, I think the onus obviously is on Flutterwave for them to like potentially address it or kind of provide evidence or correct like the record.
Yeah.
And they've opted not to do that, which, I mean, I don't want to say admission of guilt or whatever, but you can obviously read whatever it is.
Can't infer whatever, yeah.
In terms of with the David stuff, I hate that David has this compulsion to make himself like the story.
Yeah.
So David cannot do good work and then just take a back seat. Like, he's going to show his complex. He's going to get mad at something he shouldn't get mad about. He's just always going to show his ass. And I think, like, it's kind of discredits him and the work he does. Yeah. Like, I remember when the thing happens, someone said, like, I pray I never piss Houdini off, and I pray he never has my time, because like, I don't need this guy, like, obviously on a vendetta looking into every single thing I've done in my life and looking at where maybe I didn't do something
by the book, etc.
By the book, yeah. So, because obviously a lot of his work and his reporting is driven by vendetta and agenda. Like, it's just, okay, I hate Inge, I hate Flutterwave, and I'm going to find something or find enough things to give you, like, to make, obviously, dent their credibility.
Yeah.
But then again, it's this conversation we had. I remember the first episode I think we did this year, when it was like, okay, what are the consequences?
Real.
There are no consequences. Real. Because if, at the end of the day, everyone is just... this whole episode has happened, and everyone is just going about their business.
Yeah.
David is going to be back with another story soon.
Another banger
that will basically will move on from this story.
Yeah.
And then he'll find a way to, like, discredit himself, and then he'll be like, God, what is wrong with this guy? Like, whatever. Inge is going to do what Inge does, which is investing, dropping daft takes on Twitter. Flutterwave are going to continue, like, obviously
unicorning, trying to, whatever it is there.
You're going to continue unicorning and just keeping silent. GB will be there investing in businesses and just building this massive payments business. But then it's like, all these things that we've heard, like, okay, so what is actually the consequence? Like,
it's actually so crazy, and it has me thinking, like, honestly though, like, you know, you were like, oh, it was disappointing that Flutterwave didn't address it. Dog, that's probably the best PR move they could have made in life.
Yeah. No, if I was in their office, I'd be like, yeah, like, never address it, because you're not confirming, you're not denying it.
Yeah, and also...
So that way, for the rest of life, it's going to be allegedly.
Allegedly. And then, like, watching that nigga unravel like he did also is just like, that's the best PR for you, possibly, because... Niggas will just ultimately end up being like, is this guy okay? Like, once niggas start questioning if somebody's okay, anything that comes out of their mouth is just like, man, like, you guys take it with that same lens. Like, is this guy okay? Like, is he really saying the truth right now? Like, is this real? But yeah, I remember what I was trying to say, and it just, like, it ties into this as well, where it's like the Flutterwave piece and Flutterwave not actually chasing the story maybe not for that reason specifically. However, like, that after the like interview, whatever it was, where there was now that disclaimer about how both GB and E are investors in TechCrunch. Sorry, not Flutterwave, rather.
Big about.
Guy, insanity. And then just reminded me of the conversation we're having, I was trying to remember about Elon Musk buying Twitter, but also us talking about the group chat. And how, like, there must be a certain type of, like, success that comes around or that you get where you feel like the world is your group chat at that point. And it's kind of manifesting
I get you.
Twitter, because, like, yeah, man, I honestly can't wait. So, like, my dream in life, I mean, outside of, like, being a sick OT season ticket holder and being able to summon Budge whenever I want, it's also being able to, like, be on LinkedIn just, like, yanning out my ass, like, treating LinkedIn like it's my Twitter, like, treating LinkedIn like it's my group chat. Guy, if you ever just see me, like, on LinkedIn, like, yanning, just know I've either won the lottery or something, or my or my grandpa left me something crazy that, like, I can't believe. Bro, man. Like, imagine me on LinkedIn right now just tweeting continuously about how, like, Elon Musk is actually black. I'm sorry, not black, African, how I'm proud of him to be an African. I'm just, like, winding people up. Like, bro, fucking crazy SP, man.
It's like, now, the next thing you see is maybe, like, Buhari or, like, the South African president releasing a statement being like, we congratulate our African son on...
Yeah, but that's the type of thing that Nigeria can do, man.
On this amazing milestone...
God, that's the type of thing like, Nigerians can do. I mean, Nigeria can do as a fucking entity, though. Like, bro.
Well, what happened?
Have you been? You been enjoying campaign season? Like, have you seen a lot of material?
I haven't seen. I've just been seeing Wike.
Oh
man.
My, Wike, bro, Wike is a clown. The thing is, I love him because he's just like, he's fucking funny, and like he's saying all the things he's saying. Like, he's literally speaking what is like truth to like the political class. So sometimes, like, I like the fact that, you know, he's so cynical that he says it out loud, because I'm like, yo, this is what these niggas think. Like, when there was a video, I think he was talking to Anambra delegates, and he was mocking Peter Obi because he was like that. He was like,
GDP. You
know, no, he was like, you know, you come, you say economy, GDP. Yeah, like all that shit. And he's like, yo, that one is not for you people. I can't come here and be talking economy. And he's like, yo, it's facts, because delegates don't care about whatever you're yarning. What delegates care about is, Oga, how much are you dropping?
Yeah.
So if you come and be yarning all this, you're yarning. Like, obviously, and it's one thing my dad has always like taught me is that communication, like, there are lots of times like people think communication is like you coming and like speaking like your most eloquent best.
Yeah.
And just like just delivering platitudes. But it's like, yo, communication is literally ensuring you get your point across. Yeah,
speaking
regardless. Exactly. Like, regardless of wherever it is you are. So, like, he's like, if you're in the market and everyone is speaking pidgin and you're about, and you go there and be blowing like Queen's English, you're not communicating, because these niggas don't get it. Yeah. They don't understand. So, like, obviously, Wike is like, yo, yes, this Kanja, like, what, like, your whole the whole conversation about like GDP, economy, which obviously is very important, but it's just that that's not the type of conversation you have to delegate. It's just the way Nigerian politics is. It's potentially a conversation you have when you've won the ticket and you're trying to show niggas why they should vote for you. But at this point now, it's fully a money pee. Like, I was having, and then understanding and realizing how much money, like, I mean, it's the same everywhere in terms of money being like a huge, like,
part of campaigning.
Yeah, but because there was research we were doing, and it's like, yo, this election is going to be the most expensive probably in Nige history. Because INEC have obviously come in with like new rules and regulations. Yeah. So, for instance, the parties have to select their candidates by, I think, end of May, beginning of June. I don't remember the exact one. So it's like, previous in the past, for instance, in 2014, when Buhari got the APC ticket, he got it in December. Elections were in February, so he basically had maybe 2 months. Like, it was mad close. But now, INEC are making it like, they've obviously done the calendar. So parties obviously have to have picked their candidates. Basically, I think, as of yesterday, it was within 39 days. So it will be like, very soon.
Elections are next year, eh?
Yeah, elections are like February next year. Damn, so
that's actually a long time.
Exactly. But you think, and I mean, I know there's like a period where you're not supposed to campaign, but interesting. Come on. But so like, niggas are going to know from June if they are running or not. So everywhere you are going to like, obviously have to drop money. When you go and visit all those obas that people do, you go and drop money. When you visit whatever community, when you visit whatever like organization, you're just going to have to be dropping money at each point. And then it's like,
go for it and I'll ask my question.
I was looking, there was someone in particular I know who's running for office, and I was looking at like, one day I was following him on Instagram, and this nigga was in Abuja and he flew to Lagos to get a haircut,
I'm crying,
and maybe pick up his family, then he flew back to Abuja and then flew to his state, and he did this with a PJ. So I'm like, all these PJ companies, like all these guys, they're going to basically, like, niggas are spending this much money in April. If guys now get the tickets, or if they end up winning, like, how do you expect them not to enter office with the plan of stealing?
Because, like, they need to recoup.
They need to recoup. Like, niggas are not spending this type of money just because, like, they like our faces. And they want to serve us. Like, so I think, like, obviously there's like, it's something I think people should be more conscious of. I think understanding, like, so the whole political system is fucked. And the thing is, I don't have like a solution or like a thing about it, but it's just observing this in real time. It's wild, it's crazy.
I mean, I was going to ask a question, and now, like, the question just seems very, very silly. But I was going to ask,
you can ask him.
Do you reckon that, like, election season pumps, gets money in circulation, like, pumps money into the economy?
It definitely does.
But ultimately, does it trickle down? Because, like, now we're talking about, like, private jet companies, like, making KPA, and then delegates making KPA, and Obas getting, like, stipends and all that kind of P. But, like, outside of like those bags of rice and all that shit, does it trickle down like that?
Palliative.
Yeah.
I reckon it does, because for instance, whether we like it or not, we basically have vote buying in Nigeria. We have like situations where niggas as you thumb, you collect 10K or 5K or whatever it is. And even when like they go and campaign, like obviously, if you go to like campaign
foot soldiers,
events,
all those guys that are paying.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like they're paying you to come.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely trickles down. Like,
but it's not just sustainable pee.
It's number one, the fact that it's not sustainable. And then number two is that niggas are going to do this, disappear for 4 years, and then come back
and do it
like,
again.
And do it again. And.
Do you have any idea? So, like, you know, like, okay, so, like, you know, the World Cup and like the Olympics and all that kind of stuff. On an economical peer, I guess. Do those kind of events help the economies of like the host cities or the countries long term, or is just that influx of this is happening right now? And I guess the build ups, so like building stadiums and stuff like that. I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to compare the two in terms of like. Like the election as an event that gets money into the economy versus like say like a World Cup or an Olympics, like in terms of like long term, like what they're doing for the cities, etc.
So the thing is with World Cups, like sports events, I know sports events usually in theory like they generate money, but I think I've read in the past that they actually don't. Like so what happens is because of how much, like for instance, you think of the last countries to host the World Cup. So you had, last one was Russia. The one before that was Brazil. The one before that was SA.
Yeah.
Those are countries that obviously have football culture in some form or way.
Yeah.
Basics. Yeah. But then you think about it, it's like the stadiums, like the stadiums that they were, the infrastructure they invested in. So like the stadiums in Brazil now, the stadiums in SA. Like, are they being used now? Like, is their condition now? So you think you spend a lot of money building the infrastructure, and it's like, I'm not sure. I don't think you don't make it back. It helps in that, okay, maybe after, like, for instance, in England, Olympics, even like the Olympic Stadium, that was a gigantic bust because they had to rent it to West Ham for like a significant, a significantly lower rate than they intended to. But it's like, yo, we have this thing, we just have to make money out of it. Yeah. So, but then, I mean, I guess, like, in terms of boosting, like, regeneration and boosting, like, the environment, I'm sure, like, because there'll be a lot of investment. So you have, like, it could be in terms of real estate where people are investing more, like, the quality kind of increases. And then you have, like, a good tourism boost for, like, 3 months or 4 months. But then, really, after that, so I definitely think the return on investment in terms of, as a society, on like elections, is definitely better than.
Ah, interesting.
Definitely. I think it will be better than like
One of those one-off like.
Yeah, because the amount of money you spend on that, like you probably spend like 1 billion in Niger now. If we wanted to do stadiums, if Niger, let's say Niger, they wanted to host the World Cup, so let's say you have to work on stadiums in Lagos, Kano, Abuja, PH.
Niger is the type of fucked up place that like Niger can go and beat on that kind of P just based off of
ego
of African giants.
Based off ego and like soft culture. Bro. Like, do you know who we are?
Fucking nuts, man. We are crazy.
But any president who does that should be like chased out, because like that's white elephant on steroids. Like, they're just going to use it, and the only people that will get rich out of shit like that is Julius Berger. Like, bruh, everyone else would, because them, it should be them that collect all the contracts. So everyone else will just like, yeah, take a big L.
Crazy. Yo, can't talk about this. It's been on my mind for a long time. But have you listened to Adekunle Gold's album? I know it's been out for a minute. You have?
Yeah, I have.
Bro, every time I listen to the song Fire, like FYE, I can't stop thinking about how there's no way on earth Adekunle Gold talks to Simi like that. There's no fucking way.
I remember what you're saying is facts, because I think about it too sometimes when I hear like Adekunle, like, I think I tweeted this on the day the album came out, where I was like, I can't believe that, that, like, because, you know, we mock Simi a lot. Simi has collected a lot of hits online. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, guys, like, Simi is a Muse fan at the Clay Gold album.
Like, there's no like, fucking way. That nigga must have been in the streets
like, the entire
time he was making his album. Like, no, guy. Okay, Simi is the girl next door. What are we talking about right now? Talking to Simi about, yo, he wants her to sit on his face? What? Yeah, don't talk to Simi like that, too. That's somebody's mommy. Are you crazy?
It will actually surprise you, but yeah, like, that finding it, like, yeah, that would be wild if that actually is true. Because, like, it's so hard to imagine a picture.
But I stay laughing. And it's not just about Simi, it's also about him. It's like, seeing as much as, like, he's AG baby right now, like, he's still fucking Adekunle Gold. Like, listening to him like cuss on that album is just like, huh? What the fuck is going on right now? Like, bruh, nigga not just talking dirty in French as well. Nigga stop playing.
Bruh. Stop fucking playing right now.
Who are you? Yeah, you baby, man. Like, bro, honestly, like, music is so funny, because sometimes like, I just listen to music and just like laughing at like these random thoughts. Same way, like, your Rema fucking kills me. But I love Rema's album, and I'm going to start pushing the classic agenda as soon as like he puts out like a Made in Lagos type like live performance thing, because I think that's like literally all he needs for people to like feel that album in a different level and put some respect in his name, because that album is like fucking fire. But what was I saying about Rema? Yo, Rema talks about carnal. Like, bro, this nigga he's referring to like sex or referring to like a woman. And he uses the word canal twice on the entire album. That is one too many times, dog. Like, have you ever heard somebody else say the word canal on a fucking album? Like, on a song even? Like, it's Rema out of his mind. Like, bro, that nigga just be out here yanning, man. That guy kills me. Also, the fucking intro on that album. Have you seen the album?
Nope. I started, but then I didn't, like, it's on the playlist I was talking about.
Fair. Bro, you need to listen to the intro where Rema is talking about, like, guys, first of all, I can't imagine, bro, like, I can understand Joseph's brothers hating Joseph. Guy, I can't imagine being, like, the chosen one, the special one, when you have siblings, and then you end up being great, and you end up talking about how, like, oh, your mom always knew you were going to be the special one from the jump. Like, if I was your sibling, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Like, get the fuck out of my face. Talking about, like, my mom always knew I was going to be the special one. That, like, when she was carrying me in her stomach, I didn't kick once. I didn't make her uncomfortable, nothing. She was even like, is there a baby in here at all? Like, this is so peaceful. Like, Rema, shut up. If I was his egg bomb, I'll slap him and knock him, man. And then obtain him or some guy. But, like, what is royalty saying? What is checks saying?
But, you see, that's everyone knowing I'm playing their parts now. Like, Rema's and Bones are like, you know what? Man, let this nigga talk shit.
Let this guy get his shit off, man.
Like, if it means we get a Lambo or we get anything we want, like, we get nice gifts, like, we'll take it now.
Bro, crazy, man. Crazy. I can't take it to me. I personally can't take it. Every time, it'll be like those, you know how niggas joke about how, like, rappers talking about how they never ate, like, 3 square meals growing up. And whole time it was like, yo, their parents were actually, like, fucking middle class as fuck, like, you know, suburbs.
Shut up, David, on back one.
legit, man. But nah, the fact that we let David get that off, man, we are actually, we're like, as a collective, as Nigerians, we're sick.
No, like, think about it. That was actually low-key true. Because, like, my nigga broke out with, like, back when. Then back he came with, he came with back when. Then he came with Dami Drew and was telling us how his father is Omo, like how he's Omo Babalu. Yeah. Like, as I, you, like, you are actually laughing at us because it's like you entered with the back when, and back then when you now like started bragging. Like, crazy. Nah, fuck off.
Crazy. But like, I can imagine that when he was writing back when, he was tapping into something, sure. Maybe like not brokenness, but it was definitely like tapping into like the struggle of coming up or something, or at least trying to live your dreams or something. I can't imagine.
Like, no, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah. But it's funny because I think that we're making the assumption that like there was, because like it, obviously we know Afrobeats is a lot of vibes. Like,
yeah.
Now we're saying he was writing. Like, bro, my nigga could just have, like, literally blowed, entered the studio, and just came out with that.
we would have had to tap into something, man. Those emotions were real as fuck, man. Like, bro.
And the way I'm sure there's a chip somewhere that was inspired by. That, I mean, it could be a range of things. Yeah, so... Because it's also possible, like, I feel like maybe when David was, like, actually coming up, so, yeah. Like, it's possible, like, guys weren't actually fucking with him because of who his father was.
Yeah.
Or, because, like, you know that thing when, like...
Guys didn't want Jones, man. Guys,
yeah, like, when a rich kid is coming, and for me, he wants to hang out in the studio, and he's like, guy... Your posse has an oil and gas company that you're going to go. Don't waste my time.
Come on, my feet.
Like, get out of here. Like, I'm always wasting my time.
Crazy. Quick question. Election season, I've been seeing a lot of your guys are coming out to the woodworks. A lot of your guys are like politically affiliated. Even me, Steph, I've been seeing some guy that like, we went to the same university, and I've just been like watching him be around APC dudes and like proper rallying and like putting his sweat and blood into like APC campaigns, and because just like damn, like niggas, like there's no way on earth that like you've looked around and you really fuck with what these guys are doing except like you're a bad person. But it's also like I also understand like stomach infrastructure. Like shout out to CC. But I don't know. It's just so confusing, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm just built differently. Where like power or like being super rich isn't something that like I've always like aspire to. And so like I don't have the drive or like the ability to tunnel vision like my own goals in terms of like, you know, disregarding, I guess in quotes, reality, and just like head on chasing what it is I want in life. So power, money, respect, like I it's just something I don't get. And it just has me thinking of like growing up and realizing, maybe, I mean, at the end of the day, we never really knew who each other, like who we really were when it came to like all these different ideologies. Cause like there was never really like, like experiences or moments where like it would shine through. Like obviously there were things that we disagreed on growing up as kids and whatever, but like all these like real life conversations never really came up, so we never really knew where people stood, even though like now you look at people and you're not shocked where they stand. You're just like, oh, I kind of always saw you being this
that's actually real, because like not being shocked, like I don't think there's anyone that has shocked me. And I mean this conversation, like, so it's funny because when I have it with different people, like it's like different things emerge. So on one hand, because I mean, it's the same. I have a friend who's like very APC aligned, and I would like, he would tweet stuff, he would post stuff, and I'd be like, dude, don't post that. I don't want to see that shit. And he would tell me, he would be like, I'm a dictator if I feel like he can't, like basically he can't post things that I don't agree with or I don't like. And I'm like, dog, you can call me whatever it is you want to call me, but I don't want to say that shit, because I know that nothing good, and you and I know that nothing good is going to come out of this thing. So, like, But then the thing is, because at a point, like, it was a day we had like a long ass argument where he told me that he would block me. There's no insult he didn't rain on me that day. I mean, so I gave him back because I'm just like, guy, it's not because of Tinubu you abuse me. Like, on God, it's not because of Tinubu that you'll be abusing me. But then, so it's like anytime we're together,
yeah,
people who are there are always like, you guys are settled. And I'm like, things, obviously, I'm not going to completely cancel him.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he's actually my oldest friend. Like, yeah, I've been friends with this nigga since I was in nursery 2.
Yeah.
But there are definitely things I draw the line at. Like, and in this case, I'm actually waiting for Tinubu to lose before I, because I've told him that, like, I'm going to throw him very heavy when it happens.
So you think there's no way Tinubu wins?
Man, famous last words, but yeah. Because I mean, sometimes I say shit things like, okay, oh, guy, if Tinubu wins, I'm tipping Nige, and people are like, you're stupid. Like, let us stay here and grind. I'm fine. But yeah, like, so the thing is, again, also, the people's, like, motivations matter.
Yeah.
So it's like, are you the type of person who we can refer to as a technocrat? Where it's going to be the type of thing, if you guys enter, they might give you something to manage. You actually have work to do, so you'll do it well. Or are you just, at the end of the day, a hustler who is looking for money because you want to go to Silver Fox, or because you want dollars that you can take your babes on trips? Like, just like, oh, you just want proximity / access to power. So I think me, personally, that's how I filter. And I kind of move accordingly, like, but I think it's also like a realization as, you know, the older we get, or like more we figure things out. It's like, you know, all this yarns about, you know, our generation will be different, like, it's like story, like you're fooling yourself, like, bro, it's gonna be the same shit, it might even be worse, because, like, one of the things I realized with politics is a lot of times, by the time these guys get into power, they are hardened because they've had to collect so much disappointment and insults that.
So now it's payback time.
It's like
paying your dues as a juvie so you can bully your time.
Yeah. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of like cognitive dissonance that goes with it, because I personally, like, I mean, it's not. So the thing is, it's not like I have any friends in politics that, you know, you can fleece. Like, yeah, where you're basically, like, I don't think me, there's any, I don't think I've made money or done anything with anyone who is, like, politically exposed off the top of my head. It's not a money thing for me. And I think that also gives me, like, the ability to yarn.
Yeah.
So when I yarn, it's not like I'm trying to hustle you. Like, bro, you genuinely know that this is how I feel.
Yeah.
You know that my respect, I mean, whatever it's worth, because at the end of the day, it's not like my respect is buying any, doing anything for anyone. Yeah. Like, bro, it's just, your respect, pocket, yeah, your respect is for your pocket. But obviously, you know that, like, yeah, this person doesn't have your respect, and, like, you're just going to potentially not trust them. You're not going to probably have them around your kids because you don't want your kids legitimately. You don't want your kids to look at that, like, because, yeah, you don't want your kids to look at guys who have never worked a day in their lives and think that this is the way the world works. Like, bro, and that's, like, one of, like, my big issues with some of these guys is because we look at the politicians that have never worked. You can tell, you can see them now. Bro, look at Michi, look at Wike, guys like that. I mean, Wike actually maybe worked as a lawyer, but he's been deeply embedded in, like, the political system since he was a youngin, or since, like, for youngs.
Yeah.
Amechi's own has been, like, since the early 90s. So you look at them and it's like, yo, bro, no, I don't want, this is not, like, the ideology that anyone needs to, like, inculcate or, like, take in. Like, so I definitely know that there will because at the end of the day, more often than not, when people don't align with you, there's just, like, you don't even have to talk about it. There's just, like, a small, like, distancing.
Yeah, like, it just naturally starts happening. Like, you don't want to hang
because,
around
because, like, yeah, they don't want to hang around you
because
too.
You just be insulted all the time. Like, everybody just did their day. Go where you're loved. Go where you're appreciated. What's that saying? Shout out to Asha, man. I don't go where there's no love on G. Like, you know, they show love.
Yeah. And the thing is, because sometimes you see it too, because when you see, like, certain people hanging out with certain people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, the only reason, the only way, the only world where this alignment makes sense is where you're a nigga who is insecure because, obviously, all your day ones have dropped you because you're a douchebag. So you now start hanging out with this person who may be, obviously, is just basically feeding your...
Yeah, man. He's on come insecurity. Up. He's on, like, he's come up, essentially.
Yeah. So, like, bro, we die here. Like, so a lot of times, I think one of the things I've tried to do more often than not is understand why people are doing the things they're doing, because then you can kind of... It's like, that's the context that you judge on. That's
but
it. Like,
but the thing about it, though, is, like, no matter why niggas are doing what they're doing, ultimately, if we're going to be together and you're going to try and sell me a Tinubu or an APC, it's just going to be so hard to, like, take you seriously. Do you get, like, I don't know if it would help, but I wish more often than not, like, these guys would just straight up be like, guy, I swear to you, I promise you, me too, I know that they ain't doing shit. Like, I know they ain't doing shit. And, like, this is why me, I'm doing this. But I don't like...
I mean, I know that feeling, because it's like, when you see, like, the guys on Twitter, and that's, I think, one thing that sets me off. Because there's nothing I hate more than an aide who is working for an ain't doing shit nigga who is always coming on Twitter to, like, moralize. Like, guy, if you're doing this shit, I don't want to see or hear from you. Just do it and do it like that. You are doing it with your chest. But don't come and be adding, yeah, you know, you guys don't know. You guys are not, you know, when these decisions are being made. Like, because all the time, you're always justifying the unjustifiable. Right. So I would actually rather, and that's the thing, because obviously anyone who is young, like, is always, they always care about optics. So they'll always, and it's like, yo, I don't want to say that shit. Don't try and convince me,
because, like, right now there's too small social capital in, like, having friends now. Like, but I feel like after a certain age, like, niggas turn 30, 35, I don't care about having friends anymore. They just care about having bodies around them, man. Like, bro.
For real though.
Fucking crazy, man. Yo, I wish I could actually talk to somebody. Like, I mean, it's just, I don't want to give them like the platform to, like, spew APC type shit, but I really just want to
hear. But the thing is, they won't, because I think they actually, like, low-key know, like, that however people feel, like, it's not based off, it's not vibes,
not some unfounded, like, hate. Yeah, like, it's not,
yeah,
hits.
It's based on real life. But what they always try and do is try and convince you that being on the in, it allows you to, like, influence stuff. So it's like, and sometimes it helps, because sometimes I've obviously seen cases where, because people are surrounded by so many yes men, they are not hearing the truth, or they're not, like, hearing, like, they're not getting, like, accurate feelings. So sometimes it's like, if you have honest people around you who can actually tell you, like, guy, you're fucking up, or guy, you fucked up. But obviously, the higher you get, more often than not, you don't get, like, those moments of honesty, or those moments, those people who can obviously be true to you.
Because
it's like, even I see it all the time, like, bro, finding yes men is one of the easiest things ever. Because I mean, I've worked at places where you see how it happens. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And even sometimes at work, it's like that too. Because sometimes I can already see, like, sometimes people just defer to you because you're their boss. Like, they won't tell you actually how they feel, but there may be... And me, I personally hate it, because me, I function on dissent a lot more than... what's the word now? More than...
Like, you need a little bit of back and forth for, like, things...
Yeah. Because that's how you get, like, the best ideas. Yeah. Like, you don't just need people who are telling you... And I say this, like... For instance, I do not ask my mom for anything objectively, because she can't give it. Like, I can't ask my mom for feedback and she'll give me objective feedback. Yeah. Like, she thinks I can't do any wrong. So, like, more often than not, if I need, like, critical feedback, I'll ask my father because he's more likely to offer it. Because and that's everyone needs, I guess, someone or people like that who are always keeping you on your toes. And I guess what political guys do is they just basically buy niggas to basically be yes men. But I think at that point you have to like take the extra steps to see beyond that. Like I remember, I mean, I can't stand the nigga, but like when Fashola was governor, I know there were instances where maybe he would maybe drive on his J's to actually see what streets were saying or like see what was actually popping. Because then you can like it's not what they told you. Because they'll tell you and they'll do all sorts. Like, but then it's like,
I mean, when that guy was driving himself, did he have like how was he moving?
What I heard, I think he was moving solo, like he was moving dolo. So it wasn't like he was moving in like a convoy. So it could be like maybe using it to, let's say you've given a contract for them to do a road, and then. Just like okay, let's actually see what's going on.
But are like, there like there one or two cars in proximity though? Like it's not
probably. Yeah, like but my point is, it's just it's shit like that. Like it's like
yeah, I know. I hear you.
You can't just because it's the same way. Like I remember the day I realized when you are a like president. Then I think it was when Goodluck was president, and Wole Soyinka was like, so you know they give you like edited newspapers.
No way.
So what it is they'll give you like the papers. But maybe they'll give you like, you know, it's like a news briefing or a news clipping. So like they might take out some pages, like they might give you the things they think you need to see. So like I know when was it when Jonathan was president, I think it was an instance where the Moroccan, there was like a diplomatic issue between Nigeria and Morocco where like the Moroccan they withdrew their ambassador. And basically Wole Soyinka said when he went to meet with Jonathan, Jonathan did not know.
Because they are taking it out of the newspaper.
Because they are taking it out of the papers. Because obviously, because Wole Soyinka, the only reason he knew was because he read it in the papers. Yeah. But it's like, so I see and understand how easy it is to like be manipulated. Damn. But then you, because so you can't like just be waiting on niggas to give you.
This guy, that's why Buhari thinks he's doing a great job. I'm dead. That's why Buhari is so convinced he's doing a great job. That nigga has no clue. They showed that nigga those rice pyramids. That nigga was like, yes. Yeah. No. That nigga said, yo, Kill me right now, man. Nah, I'm actually done with this bullshit, man. Sarah and the Roach, episode 102. Appreciate you, my guy.
Safe, coach.
Safe. Always part of me, young Sim Summer Reason.